Keith Skipper has celebrated his beloved Norfolk in the EDP, the Evening News, and Let's Talk for over 60 years. This week he was celebrated himself by Rowan Mantle. Here is the first part of her article on the remarkable and continuing career of Keith Skipper, read by Mike Spivey.
Keith Skipper is proper Norfolk. Not prim and proper, posh-landed gentry Norfolk, but proper Norfolk through and through. Bred and born, that's the right way round. You're bred first and then born, he says. In the heart of the county, one of five boys and five girls, Keith's father was an agricultural labourer, a cowman and a ploughman. His mother was mainly occupied bringing up 10 children, and when young Keith got a bit uppity, he was sent next door, where he first encountered our sister paper, the Eastern Daily Press. She took the EDP every day and would put it out on her old stone floor so I could look at the pictures of horses, said Keith. Soon, little Keith learned to read and enjoyed the words too. And around the same time as he progressed from the village primary school in Beeston, near Dereham, to the grammar school in Swaffham, he joined his mum as local correspondent for the weekly Dereham and Fakenham Times. Even then, his career was not set in stone. Two distinguished speakers arrived to talk to the school's sixth formers about careers. One was the Antarctic explorer and Bishop of Norwich, Lancelot Fleming, and the other was the editor of the EDP. And so the boy who had never left Norfolk, let alone considered trekking polar ice floes, decided on a career in journalism. It was 1962, and he loved talking to people, writing, cricket, football, amateur dramatics, and Norfolk. It has stood him in good stead for 60 years and counting. He still remembers the names of the people he interviewed for his first stories and the landladies in Thetford, Dereham and Great Yarmouth. I even went abroad to Brandon in Suffolk, said Keith. Keith quickly got to know the people of his first patch, Thetford, perhaps a little too well, he thought, when a woman asked whether he'd like to pop in and see her husband laid out for the undertakers. He moved on to Yarmouth, and when summer arrived, his lodgings were needed for holidaymakers, so he slept in the press photographer's garden shed. Eventually, he arrived in the big city, and, swapping news reporting for sport, finally began venturing out of Norfolk to cover Norwich City's away games. He travelled on the team coach, and the journalistic moment he is proudest of is being thrown off it by 1969 to 1973 manager Ron Saunders. He felt that reporters should be more like supporters, but people rely on reporters to give a fair account of what happened. Covering football is extremely difficult. To be impartial and fair, you got aggro from the manager, from the supporters, from the players. After one argument with Ron, I used to give him a lot of Norfolk dialect he couldn't understand, Keith was asked to leave the team bus en route to Blackpool. I hadn't got a car, but I managed to get to Blackpool before the coach, and stood in the foyer and asked him whether he'd had a good journey. I really thought he was going to clock me. I think after that he quite admired me, said Keith. After 16 years with Eastern Counties newspapers, Keith decided to take a year off. I picked strawberries and played cricket, he said. Perhaps he had become a little restless. At one point, the boy, who throughout his childhood had never left Norfolk or used a telephone, was offered a job in Derby. He even went for an interview in London with Radio 2, but realised midway through that he could not take the job. How could I get back in time for rehearsals with the Rackies players? He asked. If Keith was not going to leave Norfolk to work in radio, then radio had to come to Norfolk. Radio Norfolk launched in 1980 with Keith on the staff. I'm technologically dyslexic and haven't a clue about microphones and sliders and faders. But they needed someone who wouldn't talk about Happysburg or why Moan Dumb, he said. They got their revenge by sending me to London for training, where they said, "Don't worry, Keith, it's just like driving your car." Only Keith didn't drive. He had taken and failed some tests. Unlike the shorthand test, he was supposed to have passed to become a journalist. "My shorthand is outstanding," he says, truthfully, explaining that when he was a trainee, the big boss had checked everyone's shorthand credentials and written "outstanding" against Keith's name. Not because of his brilliance, but because there were no results to record. Keith never took that shorthand exam, but did go on to an outstanding career. The shining threads which run through all those articles, broadcasts, talks and stage shows of the last 60 years are his sense of humour and his deep love of Norfolk. He loves Norfolk's understated landscape, its history and people, and most of all its villages, and mourns both the sense of community and the countryside lost by the building of so many new roads and houses. Keith and his wife Diane, a retired pharmacist, met at a disco in Dereham. Despite it being a Friday the 13th, they went on to a happy marriage, two sons, Danny and Robin, and two grandsons. Now 78, Keith has great hopes for his five-year-old, Alfie. "He called me a rum old boy the other day," he laughed. "He's learning two languages, Norfolk and English." Keith is passionate about the preservation and use of Norfolk dialect and founded the Friends of Norfolk Dialect in 1999. It aims to record the county's traditional words, sayings, stories and songs. Members produce an annual pantomime in Broad Norfolk and work with film and television producers to try and prevent upsetting manglings of the Norfolk accent. Keith's absolute favourite Norfolk word is squit. "It's always been my favourite because it's what life is about. It's descriptive and adaptable and moves with the times. Because I have been writing it all these years." He said, "It's a valuable commodity. You can talk squit, write squit, share squit." He believes the Norfolk dialect will survive. It will adapt. People have read it the last rites so many times, I think there's enough people who can do it properly and you can put it into practice. He's been doing his bit all his life, although, whisper it, his wife is originally from Leicester and one of his sons now lives in Cheltenham. We took them about, even into Suffolk, so they didn't grow up quite so parochial as me, he laughs.